From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Across the landscape of healthcare, the idea of long-term care for the elderly or disabled is changing. One of those changes is what's known as managed care, where states contract out medical services for those who need it long-term. Some states say that it saves money by fixing their healthcare costs, but others say managed care can keep patients from getting the help they need. Today, we'll talk to healthcare providers and the Florida Healthcare Association about how managed care is changing the way Floridians get healthcare in nursing homes and other long-term facilities. Plus, the dreaded Burmese python. Whether the big snake makes you squirm or not, this invasive species has a foothold in Southwest Florida, and a new study suggests that all the hunts and harvests aren't doing much to stop their advance through the Everglades and into our own backyards. Today, we talk with a biologist who's been tracking and recording the behavior and travel patterns of Burmese pythons about what he's discovered and how that research will eventually give humans a winning edge over this infinitely adaptable invader. First, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The reptile people love to revile, the Burmese python, is the invasive species that inspires hunters, wranglers, and biologists to tromp through the Everglades searching for the elusive and powerful snake. What they do when they find one varies pretty widely. Later in the show, we'll talk with one biologist who surgically implants a tracking device and then lets them go. We'll learn why a little later in the show. But first, the healthcare landscape is always changing, with technology and new developments constantly transforming the terrain. But the latest in care costs money. And as states eye mountainous healthcare costs, many states, including Florida, are experimenting with ways to save, especially when it comes to long-term care for the elderly and disabled. The latest change is called managed care. It's where states contract out medical care and services for people who need it for extended periods of time. That means people in nursing homes or others who simply can't go back home after an acute injury or other medical issue. Joining us today to talk about long-term care in Florida and how managed care is changing is Luke Newman, the Senior Director of Service at Palm Garden Healthcare in Sarasota. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Julie, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Also joining our show today is Patty Spears from Oak Brook Health and Rehabilitation Center in LaBelle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thank you, Julie.
Also joining us from Tallahassee today is J. Emmett Reed, the Executive Director of the Florida Healthcare Association, offering a statewide perspective on how managed care is impacting nursing homes and other long-term care facilities across Florida. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Julie. Thank you.
We are talking about long-term care in South Florida and how the practice of managed care programs is changing how elderly and disabled Floridians get the care they need and how the state pays for that health care. Call in with your questions or comments on that proposal. Share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Luke Newman with Palm Garden Healthcare in Sarasota. As with many issues related to healthcare, long-term care is a complicated topic. For our listeners who may not be familiar with this issue, explain for us what long-term care is and who in South Florida needs long-term care.
Sure, Julie. Well, long-term care in the state of Florida has evolved over time. And depending on the treatment setting, it's different in different areas. Just by way of example, with Palm Garden, we prefer to view our centers as life centers where folks who can no longer remain in the community safely and require more medical treatment, sometimes 24-hour care, can come to centers like ours and not just live out the remaining years of their lives, but actually thrive and do well. So for our purposes, nursing homes is the old word we used to use.
Now that's apparently not the term to use.
Right.
People don't like to hear nursing home anymore.
They don't. It's because of all the downward pressures on funding. Some centers that are considered nursing homes aren't places where you or I would choose to put our moms and dads to thrive their remaining years. So we prefer life centers and folks that can no longer live in the community or do so medically, they come to us long term.
And this includes also people with disabilities and people with different kind of illnesses that make it difficult for them to live on their own.
It does.
Not just the elderly.
That's right. A great example is someone might have cerebral palsy, right? And mm-hmm. so they can't function at home, but they're still with it mentally and still have a full life ahead of them. They may come to us when they're 50 years old. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I want to ask Emmett Reed with the Florida Healthcare Association. Your organization represents long-term care providers and the elderly and disabled Floridians that are served by those providers. How is managed care changing the traditional long-term care system?
Yeah, thanks, Julie. That's a great question. Well, managed care is relatively new in the long-term care world, and we are really, it's been quite disruptive for the long-term care. And what I mean by that is managed care companies do a really good job up to the door of the nursing home and maybe even in the first 60 days of a resident stay in one of our facilities. And so after that 60 days, we realize, or usually a nursing home, skilled care center can tell that the resident's going to be there long term. They're going to be there for quite some time. And the managed care companies after that weren't designed to really care for those patients or residents. However, the folks in our skilled nursing facilities are prepared to do that, and they know how to care. I'll give you a great example, a couple things that have really caused great pain and problems for folks in our facilities. The transportation issue, for instance. Managed care companies offer transportation to take grandma from the facility to her doctor's appointment. And many times they'll send an Uber driver or a taxi. Well, grandma's in a wheelchair, and it's not the proper transportation. So now what's turned out to be a routine doctor's visit has turned into an all-day stressful event for that person in the care center. And we just think that at some point there's a need for managed care, and we just don't believe it's after the 60-day mark in one of our care facilities.
So I forgive me, but can you explain exactly what managed care is? Is it an insurance company?
Yeah, it's an insurance program, and there's several of them throughout the state of Florida that are offered in different regions. For anybody can be in a managed care plan. It's just whenever it comes into a skilled nursing facility, that insurance plan isn't the best option for our residents because a managed care plan is designed to manage your health basically throughout your life. And once you get into a nursing home, there's no need to manage, and when they're long-term care stay, let's put it that way, when it's been determined you're going to stay in a nursing home for a long time, there's no reason for a company to come in and duplicate the efforts of managing the care that the skilled care facility already provides. So you've got a duplication of efforts, and I think, you know, Patty's on the line. I think she deals with it every day. I'm sure she could give you some great examples of what the challenges are day to day in her skilled care facility.
I do want to talk about that, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. So does managed care replace Medicaid? Is it something that people voluntarily sign up for?
Yes, they have to. Yes, they can sign up for it voluntarily. However, they have to, in a skilled nursing facility, they have to sign up with a managed care plan.
In a managed care facility, you have to sign up with a managed
That's
care
right.
plan. So a managed care facility.
In a skilled nursing facility.
Okay, any skilled. Okay, so all skilled nursing facilities are considered managed care?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Patty, can you illuminate me a little bit more on this?
Sure. So the issues that we find in LaBelle being a rural community, like Emmett said, so one of our residents has a doctor's appointment, just a routine doctor's appointment. And so the managed care plan dictates to the facility the transportation services that are used to get our seniors to their doctor's appointments. And, for example, the transportation will show up 3 to 4 hours ahead of the appointment time to pick our resident up. Our resident has to get up early, get early breakfast, get their medicine, get on the transportation van, ride around on various stops to the transportation van that the transportation van is going to make. And when they finally get to their appointment, then they have to sit there and wait again.
For someone to come pick them up.
For their appointment, because as you know, you go into a doctor's office and you normally have to wait. And then they have to sit and wait again for the transportation van to come back and pick them up. And so then they have to ride around again on their way back. Other stops are made. So what a routine 15, 20-minute doctor's appointment can turn into a 7-8-hour day for our frail elderly resident sitting in a wheelchair all day long, riding around just for a 20-minute doctor's appointment.
So that sounds like basic logistic poor management. But what I'm curious is, if you have – so like my grandma's going to go into a skilled nursing facility because she can't get around. And she does need that kind of assistance. When I put her in any kind of skilled nursing facility, I have to enroll her in a managed care program?
Yes, that's correct. So if you're –
So Medicare doesn't do it?
Well, Medicare, if a resident comes in and they're going to receive rehab services, you know, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, there's a need for them to receive skilled services, yes, then Medicare will take care of it. But if they are not able to go home and they are needing to enroll in a Medicaid service because they just don't have the funds to pay for nursing home care, which is, you know, can be pretty expensive, then yes, they are required to, everyone that goes on Medicaid has to enroll into a Medicaid managed care plan. So then that plan is dictating to the facility what services are being offered, transportation being one of them.
Yeah. And so that is something that is required by the state, and that's an effort by the state of Florida to save money?
Correct.
And the state of Florida then is saving money because they have this managed care person who's saying, hey, let me shave off the cost and I'll do carpooling to the doctor's office so it'll take 8 hours instead of 15 minutes.
Correct.
So that's what you're saying.
Julie, can I jump in here? This is Emmett.
Oh, hi, Emmett. Yes.
Yeah. So one of the key percentages that I like to tell people, whenever the legislature decided managed care would be good for skilled nursing facilities, you know, we showed a percentage that's eye-opening. In Florida, 2% of residents over 65 are in skilled nursing facilities throughout the state. The nationwide average is 5%. We're a full 3% lower than the rest of the nation. And if that doesn't show we weren't already managing our care, I don't know what does. So we really think that it's been duplicative, it's been disruptive, and, that number is eye-opening.
So, right, how long has managed care been something that's been mandated, Emmett?
Say that, I'm sorry, I missed that.
How long has this been something that has been
I think we're in our
legislated?
I think we're in our fifth year now.
Fifth year? Is there a push to expand it?
Well, right now they're reviewing it. Legislature is interested. I mean, and I got to give credit to the Florida Legislature. They want to hear. They want to have a debate, a public debate of ideas on what in the skilled care facility. But be very careful to say that our association does not think that managed care is a bad thing. Up to the door of, and maybe even 60 days into the skilled nursing care stay, but once we get in, again, you hear the stories from people that work in there every day. Not only are there transportation issues, there are payment issues.
Yeah.
And those are huge, and they don't go away. You can go to other states where managed care has been residing for years, and people in my position that run the associations just spend so much of their time helping their members either get payment from the managed care companies or navigate the latest managed care issue when they really need to be spending that time at the bedside of the resident.
We are talking about long-term care in South Florida and how the practice of managed care programs is changing how elderly and disabled Floridians get the care that they need and how the state pays for that health care. Call in with your questions or comments on the proposal, sharing your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Luke Newman with Palm Garden Healthcare in Sarasota. I wanted to ask you, do you see this type of duplication as well in your practice where people get there and then it seems like there's an overlap? And explain that a little bit to me.
We do. And the the real issue is, you know, when folks come to skilled nursing centers, it's typically an acute healthcare event that brought them to our doorstep. And while we like to think of ourselves as fine hotels, and enriching the lives of those we serve, folks don't get up on Monday morning and say, you know what, honey, let's check into Palm Garden and get some French toast, and maybe this weekend we'll watch a movie. We'll be back Monday. It's not that kind of setup. So folks are anxious. They're scared. They weren't necessarily planning on coming to a nursing home. And they arrive, and all of a sudden thrust at them then are a lot of decisions they have to make super quick. And they don't always have all the information. Who are you going to believe? You know, I have a personal story in this area, but if it were me, I would trust a doctor, and I would want my physician to direct my care, or I would want the folks in the center that I chose to direct my care. Anytime someone who's financially incentivized to maybe manage lives and cut costs is making healthcare decisions for me, up to and including which nursing home I go to, I see a big problem with that.
Well, you said that you had a personal story. Could you share that with me?
Sure. I've been with Palm Garden now for 5 years, and before that, I was a sales rep for a pharmaceutical company, and my wife was pregnant, challenging pregnancy, bed rest for 3 months, flew my folks in from Chicago. They helped us immeasurably. I have pictures of my dad holding my son the day he was born. And it was about 3 weeks later, my dad had been short of breath. We had him checked, and he needed a quadruple bypass, his left anterior descending coronary artery, the same thing that took Tim Russert. So we had him checked out. He had a surgery, and it didn't go well for him. Spent 31 days in cardiac ICU, and on that 31st day, a case manager came in and said, well, you need to find some place to go. He's hemodynamically stable. He's not going to pass, but he needs rehab. And so in that split second, my mother and I had to make a decision on where my father went for skilled nursing and rehabilitation. And this is a situation most folks are in. It may not have been a heart issue. Some slip and fall. Some have bad diabetes or COPD. But nonetheless, the framework is all still the same. You're making decisions in a very compressed, pressured.
Emotional.
Oh, my gosh. You love your dad. I mean, yeah. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them.
That's one place you do not want to make a mistake, too.
Exactly.
Because the guilt that's going to come afterwards is not going to be fun either.
Oh,
so when things are presented to you in that decision-making time, you said the nurse came and said he needs to go somewhere. You need to figure out where to go. What do? Get on the internet and start looking around? Or
that's exactly what most people do. They get on the internet. And if they're lucky, like I was, they know a lot of physicians and they ask them, hey, where would you send your dad? Unfortunately, because of a lot of the rules that are in place to protect us, protect our HIPAA rights and whatnot, case managers, the woman that walked into the room to tell us, you got to find someplace, you got to get out, couldn't make a suggestion. She asked me for 3 options. What do you do? It's a very, very challenging. What we did is we toured 3 different centers. And
the decision on where to go, was that dictated by managed care, Medicaid, or were you able to freely make that decision?
Here's the rub. Fortunately, I had counseled my mom not to enroll in a managed Medicare program. Now, this is a little separate from Medicaid, but some of the folks who do managed Medicare are also in the Medicaid space. What would have happened had my mom enrolled in a managed Medicare program is they would have told us where we could go. They would have said, X, Y, and Z. These are your 3 options. Pick one. Fortunately, in our situation, we were able to pick the best one. And when we went there, we knew we were there for a short stay, for rehabilitation. Now, had my dad had to stay, we would have had to have spoken with the center to see which providers in the Medicaid space would allow my dad to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then I wanted to ask Patty, when it comes down to it and it's a managed care situation and there are decisions that need to be made, like maybe we should run this test or check this out or sign up for this kind of rehab or whatever, who makes that decision? Is it the insurance company, the managed care company, or is it the doctor?
Unfortunately, it's not the doctor. If there's any type of test, any type of procedure, it's the managed care plan that is making that decision. And so the ones that have the most knowledge, like the physician, are kind of out of the picture because the managed care plan is telling you this is where you can go get it done, or this is, you know, the hospital, the doctor's office, the outpatient clinic. The physician totally does not have much say so.
Have you seen an instance in which the managed care plan made a poor decision on the part of a patient who then ultimately ended up paying the price for that decision taken out of their doctor's hand?
Well, so the problem that we face in LaBelle is a rural community. We don't even have a hospital in LaBelle. The closest facility for hospital is about 30 miles away. So the challenge that we find is when our residents, our patients, perhaps are able to return back to the community, because a good percent are able to. But because they live in LaBelle, the services that the managed care plans have on paper, all these services that we can provide, whether they're Medicare or Medicaid, because we do have, you know, some patients that come in that are not just under the Medicare managed care plan or traditional Medicare, but we also have patients and residents that come in that are under that Medicaid managed plan. And so, for example, we have a resident that is under that Medicaid managed care plan, and they clinically have a lot of things going on. And just recently, we had a patient that was ready to return to the community. She was on a Medicaid managed care plan, had diabetes, you know, that was not very well controlled, you know, on her part. So she came in for rehab. But the services that she needed, because we live in LaBelle and it's rural, the managed care company was like, oh, well, if you lived in a different county where we had staff that we could send to her, then we would be able to send staff to her home for home health, for, you know, perhaps wound care. The services just are not there for everyone, especially if you live in a small community like LaBelle.
Emmett Reed with the Florida Healthcare Association. California has been undertaking an experiment with managed care for a few years now and automatically signing up eligible Californians. But many Californians are opting out, as much as a third of eligible people. What is that experiment and similar ones in other states? What does that tell us about managed care?
Well, I think that if that many people are opting out, you'd have to take another look at it. Look, I go back to what I said earlier. I just think that when you have 2% of your population over 65 in a skilled care facility in Florida, and everywhere else, California, everywhere else is averaging 5%, we're already managing the care properly. The state of Florida has already put in the proper safeguards to make certain that if somebody's supposed to be in home and community-based care, that's where they go. If they're supposed to go into a skilled nursing facility, that's where they go. And you know, we think that the state actually, by at least modifying the managed care plan's ability to stop offering their services to our residents and our patients after 60 days, we had Moore Stevens Loveless, as a CPA firm in Central Florida, did a study for us. They think that it will save the state $68 million in administrative and other costs. So that money could go back into the skilled nursing facility to help them provide even better care.
And I wanted to ask Luke and Patty both, what has been the experience of your patients when dealing with managed care? What do they have to say about it?
Well, I think from a personal perspective, very frustrating, again, because I'm not sure they all understand it. And ultimately, all we want is what's best for our loved ones or for ourselves if we're sick and injured. And we believe that and our patients believe the best person to make that decision is the physician. And they tend to look at it with a troubling eye and come to us for help. And ultimately, many times the managed care company is, I guess, in essence, driving the bus. We're unable to help. It's great frustration for us and for our patients.
And I would have to agree with Luke. You know, they are very frustrated, and especially when it comes to transportation or, you know, maybe a dentist that they need to go see, you know, they are frustrated and then they don't want to get on that transportation van and have to drive around all day long. For any, you know, any one of us, it would be difficult. But for, you know, someone, you know, that has, you know, lots of medical issues, they're elderly, it's very challenging, and it's just very frustrating on their part because, like you said, they look to us and to the physician, you know, to help them and advise them to make the best decisions. And unfortunately, the managed care plans are dictating their future.
Well, I know that with regular insurance, they kind of tell you what they're going to cover and what they're not going to cover. And even if a doctor has to make a case a lot of the time for what they want to do, what kind of procedures, what kind of tests, so they have to, you know, kind of sell it sort of to the insurance company who then decides whether or not they're going to cover it. It's not like that. You're just saying the managed care just is cut and dry. This is what we're doing and that's it.
Well, ultimately as the payer, right, they call the shots. And so what they do is they kind of will provide a sort of menu of things they will cover and will not cover. And ultimately we see in many cases our own team members, our own staff pick up the slack. And going back to what Emmett said, ultimately who knows better how to manage the care and care for our treasured elders than the folks that run the place where they live? And maybe take a sideways glance then at people that are managing populations and pools of money and wondering if their decision is in their best interest or in the best interest of the family and the patient.
And the last question, Emmett Reed with Florida Healthcare Association. Lawmakers are meeting in Tallahassee right now. Healthcare reform is on the table. What do you want to see happen at the state legislature when it comes to managed care? Change it, get rid of it, expand it?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that our members are, we take care of America's greatest generation. Okay, so when you have people like that, you have reasonable people that are caregivers and that are not unwilling to compromise if it's in the best interest of the folks that they care for. So, what we're asking for and what we'd like to see is some sort of compromise. We're not completely carving out the managed care companies from the skilled nursing facilities. However, maybe we make a compromise where after the first 60 days, the care is turned completely back over to the skilled nursing facility and it goes back to a fee-for-service type of payment. And then the managed care companies can manage up to that point and after that, put it in the hands of the professionals.
Does that make sense to you, Luke and Patty?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now. I want to thank my guests for our talk on managed care in Florida. I kind of think I understand it, just a little. I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine. And you're stressed out. You're emotional. You're trying to figure out what to do with your family member, and you're having to deal with all this. And I'm sitting here after a half hour going, I think I kind of understand. I mean, that's a big decision, and it's really hard, and it's hard to wrap your head around, especially if you're going through something.
Right.
So
right.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time to try to help explain it for us.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Julie.
I want to thank you. Luke Newman with Palm Garden Healthcare in Sarasota, Patty Spears with Oakbrook Health and Rehabilitation Center in LaBelle, and Emmett Reed with the Florida Healthcare Association. Thank you so much for joining our show today. Coming up, we're talking about the Burmese python, so keep it here.